help us to commence this evening with hymn 1036. 1036. Seek ye my face, the Saviour cries. My soul, where canst thou find supplies? But in the Lamb for sinners slain, who has not shed his blood in vain. Hymn 1036.
Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapters 4 and 5. Hebrews 4 and 5. Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapters 4 and 5. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which had believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. Seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Again, he limiteth a certain day, saying in David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labour, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honour unto himself, But he that is called of God, as was Aaron, so also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God an high priest after the order of Melchizedek, in whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Let us pray. Most blessed, glorious, holy, ever merciful God, Lord God of heaven, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the beginning and ending of all things created and below, the Eternal One, Thyself without beginning, without end. We bow before Thee this evening, Lord. Oh, may we be found under the dew of heaven. Help us to be looking to the glorious Son, Jesus, whom we've been reading of. Help us to be pleading His grace, His righteousness, His compassion, His love, His mercy in our own lives and in our own hearts. Oh, do help us to come in that way of living faith. We read of those that entered not in the promised land because of unbelief, their carcasses falling in the wilderness, and also the Jews today in hardness of heart had the oracles of God. Oh, what a mercy. Oh, why me? Oh, blessed God, why me? Why such a wretch as me, who forever must lie in hell, were not salvation free? Or to have heard thy voice, to know thy call. Oh, it is a mystery, but what a wonderful mystery if we have been called to follow thee, to know thee in a little way, to trust in thee for our never dying souls, to be able to come and plead that precious blood of atonement for our sin. What a mercy we've got something to plead, Lord. Help us to get on with it in the urgency of our sorrow and care, and under the power of thy judgments at times. Oh, help us to be pleading that grace that is with God and the only glorious begotten one. Oh, give us that grace to do so. And we do thank thee for this throne of grace at this time, not in a public way, but in our numerous, numberless cries and breathings after thee. Oh, that God that never slumbers nor sleeps, what a mercy. So we do come as poor, needy, dying, perishing sinners, thou that savest unto the uttermost. Oh, we come now, great God of heaven, Holy Father, God of love. Oh, we come pleading the name, the grace, the glory of thine only begotten one, and ask for the Holy Ghost now. Oh, blessed Lord, send the Holy Ghost now into our midst, that we may feed on the gospel, we may feed on the word, in all the tribulation, in all the trial, in all the down-sitting, in all the anxieties, the unknown way ahead, the worries. Help us to be confessing a multitude, utter multitude, numberless sins. What can we say? Yet a fullness of love, a fullness of grace. Oh, do help us then, even this evening hour, as we come to worship. Lord, do let the word drop down from above. May there be that drawing of honey from the rock Christ Jesus. Let there be sweetness. Oh, let there be some savoury meat for the weary and strong drink for the fainting. Let there be milk for the babes. Oh, remember us in our low estate, thou God who seest all things and seest us all now. Have there been those coming here with a case, coming along to Zion's courts, weeping, seeking, asking, perhaps just a feeble asking, perhaps just a feeble prayer as they came in through the door? No doubt journeying, whether long or short, whether walking or driving, whatever it is. Lord, full of the things of this life, not in a wrong way, but in the cares and burdens. Then that poor little simple cry, as they come over the threshold, I've come to the courts. Lord, remember me, help me, speak, Lord. So do help us, Lord, this evening to consider thy word. Let there be simplicity, but the great thing is blessing, the dew of the Holy Ghost. Remember this house of prayer and what we pray for here. We pray for Zion at large. Remember the dear friends and black boys this evening as they meet for prayer, a prayer meeting. Remember thy servants on the walls of Zion. Remember the editors of our denominational magazines. Strengthen them much in their labours. Do send labourers still into the vineyard. Remember the pastors. Remember those that itinerate. Return to us as a group to churches. We humbly pray with the Holy Ghost from above. Bless thy servants here, the ministry here, the word preached. Let there be profit, let there be blessing. Remember the church, the congregation here. Be gracious to those that bear office. Strengthen them, one in his lonely pathway. Oh, remember him for good. Oh, Lord, do shine in his lonely hours. Oh, may he see a prospect from above. Bless and provide for him below in every respect. And those that bear office here, be gracious unto them and bless them. The church, the congregation. Remember those in more senior years. Be gracious unto them. It is evening time. Eternity is close. Do bless them. All in the heat and burden of business day, middle days of life, the busy scenes, the intensities of business and finance and so forth. Oh, remember each in loving kindness prosper them in their way, but Lord, let there be a little sanctuary this night, a hiding place, an encouragement, a word. Dear Lord, do remember the young friends. Bless the Sunday school here. Strengthen the teachers. Help them in their labours. May thy word follow the younger friends around, the children and the little ones. And the babes, may thy word be gracious unto them while young. So remember each one in tribulation, those in anxiety, affliction, loneliness, care, sorrow, or remember each in mercy. And do, may they hear thy voice, may we be led to thee. Oh, we do beg then thy blessing on us, as we gather, and in this house, thy servants that come, week to week, bless their labours. So we pray for thy one church in the earth, the missionaries, where thy name is feared, thy word is read. Men in deprivation, famine, affliction, war, conflict. Think of the people in Ukraine and elsewhere in Africa, persecution, Burma and so forth, Lord, throughout the earth. We have it so easy here. Help us to value what we have. And may we give thanks for peace in our land. For all we have sinned, but remember thy people through the earth in all their great need, under bombardment and loss and suffering. Be very gracious to one and another. Bless the missionaries where thy word is preached. Oh, do have mercy on thy people. Have mercy on us in a nation. Have mercy on England. Remember our prime minister and leaders. Give wisdom. Give direction. Remember our king. Be gracious unto him. May the burden of office turn him unto thee. Oh, raise up those who fear thy name in parliament. O Lord, and grant us leaders of integrity, men of honesty. If it could please thee, we have sinned as a nation. O Lord, we have turned our backs on thee, trampled thy word and thy honour under our feet as a nation, stamped on it. Lord, no wonder we're in trouble. O have mercy and hear the cries of the remnant. Lengthen out still our Protestant heritage. Civil liberties, religious liberties, freedom to worship. Oh, do hear us in heaven, thy dwelling place. And oh, above all, do raise up those once more, again, if it can be thy will, to go forth out of Zion and blow the trumpet, blow the gospel trumpet, sound the alarm, power of the Holy Ghost, as it was in former years. If it could be thy will under thy anointing. So, Lord, remember us in all things. Now we would thank thee for thy mercies, Lord, thy great goodness, thy great kindness. many, many answers to prayer, daily provisions. Lord, let us consider them. Lay them out before us. May we humble ourselves. May we weep in thanksgiving. Lord, we often weep in need. We often groan the burden of sin. Burden of sin. We groan under it. Oh, but there are so many mercies. Gospel mercies. We have thy word. When it lies neglected, what bondage we get into. Open up the precious word unto our hearts. We have a throne of grace. Help us to live there. We have the doors of Zion open. These are wonderful mercies, Lord. We do acknowledge them. Also do give us a thankful heart for all these spiritual mercies, but all the glory of our great high priest, Jesus the Son of God, now exalted in heaven, all thy precious blood, thy dying love, open our eyes to the wonders, the blessing, eternal life, for our sins, forgiveness, full atonement, before righteousness. Open our eyes. Lord, open our eyes and hearts to know the gospel, to drink that river of everlasting love, everlasting life. May we know the washing, cleansing, thy people want it, but help us to be looking to Jesus in this. Apply the word with power. Oh, speak, Lord. Speak to us. May we hear the voice of our beloved. Rise up, my love, my fair one. Come away. Oh, so appear for us, Lord. Speak to us. For all we would be bowing, would be humbling ourselves, would be looking to Jesus alone, nothing else. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. Leave us not to rely on our own feelings, but be pleading the glorious provision of the Son of God before thy face, O Holy Father. Now we do thank thee for all thy mercies, but now what will be for? Oh, pardon our iniquity, for it is great. Oh, Lord, where does one begin? We look alone to thee. Oh, sin is no light thing. It's a burden, but the fountain, a fountain, cries the man of God, a fountain with a purple flood. Lord, plunge us in. Give us a sip of thy salvation, we humbly pray. Holy Spirit, come, bless the singing of thy worthy praise. Dear Lord Jesus, do be in our midst. Blessed Holy Ghost, bring forth the glory of thy grace in Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask salvation. Plead forgiveness and blessing. Plead eternal life before thy throne. In the name, the person, the glory, the grace, the dying sacrifice, and the love of the Lamb, we plead in thy Son's great name, thine only begotten Son, whom thou hast provided to dying sinners. We ask salvation, blessing, now eternal life, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us sing hymn 947. 947. Great God, to thee I'll make my griefs and sorrows known, and with a humble hope approach thy awful throne. Though by my sins deserving hell, I'll not despair, for who can tell? Hymn 947.
Dependence upon the Lord for needed help and blessing. I draw your attention to Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 4, and the last verse, verse 16. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4, verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's a very sad and solemn thing when we often may find that we haven't got a heart to pray. Let's be honest, we've all known it from time to time. Even God's dear people just haven't got the heart or the need to particularly pray. Yet they've got outstanding troubles and cares and sorrows. Truly, like the gift of faith, it is a grace of God. The graces of the Spirit, faith, love, prayer, and so forth, and hope. How we need those graces given us. But dear friend, do not rest short and just say, I can't do anything about it. What do you expect me to do? If you're the Lord's, He'll give you something to pray over. Have you thought of that? Have you come to chapel tonight with some tremendous need? Something you've got to pray over? Some sorrow? Something that doesn't ever leave you? Surrounded with, or whatever it might be? The unknown way ahead? Dear friend, the Lord is, if you don't realize it, is favoring you in a sense. I know you can't feel it, but to bring you to Him. We don't like tribulation, and I certainly don't. And I could, well, I wouldn't say this wrongly, but often there's that in myself, Lord, I could do without this. But God sees fit to lay it on us. We don't realize how the Lord works in grace to bring us to Him, to Him. Now there's something very beautiful and precious which we read of in the portions. You know, it's a wonderful thing that Christ, in the days of His flesh. Now, if you look in chapter 5, verse 7, it speaks here of the Lord Jesus. The chapter 5 starts with the priests ordained by men, the Aaronic priests and so forth. In verse 7, it says, who and speaks of verse 6 of Christ. Verse 5, so also Christ glorified Him not Himself to be made an high priest and so forth, who in the days of His flesh, when it offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Him. Hang on a minute. Do you know anything about that? Do you know anything about this? Well, so did the Lord Jesus. When the Lord says, follow Me, it's not just in public ordinances. We follow Him in our soul, in our pathway, in the tribulation. This is Christ. The days of His flesh had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. They were a son, the eternal son. He could not die. The dear divine part could not die. But his bodily part went through death willingly in love, going before his people to redeem them. But he needed help in it. He needed help in it. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Do you know those truths? Do you know what it is to feel forsaken? So did your master. So did the one now in heaven above. Though you were a son, you learned the obedience. For us, he was obedient unto death. He had to do the will of his father. It was a terrible thing that lay before him. That sin that God hates, Christ hated, to be charged with, to suffer for. But love to the church, willing to go through that wrath, that fire in his soul. And being made perfect in this. Now, perfect for us is Jesus, a perfect Saviour. May he become so. A perfect high priest, one making intercession, one who has gone before us in the way, bearing our shame. Don't forget that. You say, I hope he bore my sins. It's a shame. It's a reproach. Have you know what it is to be ashamed? He bore the shame of the church. Well, here we have then Paul writing, saying, stating a fact tonight, and a fact that will be to the church precious tomorrow, seeing then that we have a great high priest. We do have one. Sinners have one. The lost have one. You say, but he's not made a priest to me. But what about his dying love? What about his agonies? What about his blood to atone for our sin? If you're made a sinner, there's something for you and me to look at, and to plead in forsaking those things which are not right in his sight. Friend, a true Christian forsakes those things which are not pleasing to God. I know he may have them in his heart, but he won't make excuses for himself. Friend, if you're taught of the Lord, you won't try and get off the hook, as it were. You'll confess your unworthiness and your sinnership, but be looking to the fountain that's opened for sin and uncleanness, a perfect cure. Well, may we be doing so. May we be doing so. Now, the gospel is for sinners. It's not for the righteous. Jesus said clearly, I came not to call the righteous. Friend, who were his enemies? Those that were trying to be holy themselves. What a danger we're all in that. We've all got a legal self that tries to work. What a danger. But seeing then, if you haven't got an high priest, you'll be lost. Do you need the high priest? Seeing then that we have a great high priest. What a mercy. One that laid down his life, that is passed into the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. Now, that's why the word I name starts something with, let us therefore come boldly. That's the ground. Not your groaning heart. I know that the Lord, if you're being taught of him, will make you feel to be less than the least. And that is painful. Don't envy it. Don't think, oh, I'd like to be the worst sinner in the chapel. If ever you feel it, you won't know what to do with yourself. None of this hypocrisy, please, dear friends. God sees our heart. Don't rest in your shortcomings and your failings. He has mercy on the poor and the needy. But he sent his only begotten Son, the righteous one, to fulfill all things and to honour the law with his holy life, with his answering the demands and the curse of it, with his vicarious sufferings, but also doing and glorifying the name and of his Father, and fulfilling all things that God the Father determined. Come boldly. I can't. How dare I? Friend, you've got one who knows you. If you're his, you've got one who knows about your sins. I want you to think about that. He doesn't only know about it as God, because God sees all things, but the Son of God has borne the shame of the church. If you have a hope in him, in his precious name, in the name of Jesus, and feel you have had some leadings from him, you have had a little help and instruction, however poor it may be, you have felt to have been taught a little of him, his holiness and his uprightness, but his grace and his mercy and his love and his care, and out of the word of the Lord to sit righteous and holy and just, and God's word to be true in your heart. In other words, the word to read you, read me. We need it to read us, to come right into us. We need it in power. But oh, if we've been taught to the Lord, and if we are his, and that's a big question, isn't it, sometimes? But I tell you who his people are. Comes to me. What did Jesus say? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Now you're coming. All that the Father giveth unto me shall come unto me. And he that cometh unto me will in no wise cast out. Are you going in prayer? Are you worrying? Do I love the Lord? I know the feeling. I know only too well. God, if I know anything about it, in a terrible places, I cannot name you. In my heart, full of unbelief, full of things on earth, afar off, if I know anything about it, a terrible nature. But all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. And he that cometh unto me will in no wise cast out. Are you going to him? Have you been going to him? I know you want the blessing. You don't want to be sent empty away. But I leave that with you. When you're going to prayer, you know when you've been after him. You know when you cried to him. You know when you groaned to him. You know when you cry out to him, Lord, help me. All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me. They don't come righteous. They come as sinners. They come lost. They come poor. Are you one of those that are going? Jesus said that the Father had given you to him if you're going to him. And I'm not being presumptuous there. I'm only speaking God's word. And only he can bless it. And no man can. Seeing then, well, before that we have, the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Searching, isn't it? That's how the Lord sees you. That's how he sees the coming sinner. That's how he sees you go weak on your knees when you consider your own case and your sinnership, and you cry out to him how you need him, and the poor and the needy that are not by the way. Some of God's people are so taught their poverty, they can never consider they're being taught of the Lord. It seems beyond them. They seem to be so lacking in spiritual mindedness and so forth. You might see some ministers, you might hear good people talk, think, aren't they wonderful? What an experience. How good they are. You don't know the other side, friend. If they can speak of truly under the Spirit's teaching of the Lord, if they really can, and not just rabbiting, not just old religious talk, we don't want any religious talk. We can say lots of holy things and impress people. You don't impress God. But if you've been taught your poverty, and you've been led to the Lord and found a sweetness in his word, you know the awfulness of your case and the wretchedness. You feel your poverty before the Lord by nature. But he raises up the beggar from the dunghill and sets them among princes, and they will declare his glory. Well, I'm wondering. And there's the word of God is quick and entering your heart. Discerner of the thoughts, intents of the heart. What did you intend? What are you intending? What are you thinking now? God discerns it. Neither is any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we have to do. That is the God who we stand before this evening. Seeing then, what a mercy. Ah, one who stands between in garments dyed in blood. What a mercy. What a mercy. Seeing then, well, Paul is stating something as factual. I don't want to go down the line of reasoning, natural reasoning, carnal reasoning. But Paul is stating here something that stands this evening and will tomorrow and every day that your life is spared. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Oh, dear friends, what a mercy. That is, pass into the heavens. If you're taught of the Lord, you won't just assume it for yourself, but you'll need him, and you'll be going to him. That's the secret. We always want to feel ready to go to God, don't we? We've got to best ourselves ready. Like you go ready to go to chapel. Or I better get ready spiritually before I go with her. You have to go to him raw sometimes and naked. Have you ever been to God naked? Have you been to him feeling utterly naked before him? I don't mean literally, of course, but in your soul. You've got a high priest that is passed into the heavens. Paul says in the affirmative, seeing that you do have, we do have. That seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast our hope. Let us hold fast that which the Lord we trust and hope has done for us in a little measure. That early call, those warning days when we were warned, perhaps you didn't take heed as he taught us in the way. When the word came down to where we were, when there's an inkling of a hope in the Lamb of God. He goes on to say, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let me explain that yet without sin. Tempted, but because he was righteous, he was sinless, and sin could not enter him. And he had no inclination by his divine person to sin. But he still felt the force of the temptation. And he knows, well, you've got the example, and there's many in the Word of God, but I think particularly of in the wilderness. The devil was luring him powerfully upon him. Do this, go there, worship me, all's yours. He knew the force, the power of Satan upon him. And he said to his dear disciples, and this I believe was concerning his sonship, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. Oh, the enemy knew where to go, sonship, his sonship, to attack that, to question everything. And that's what the devil's doing for you in your hope of your sonship with him. Well, Simeon the great God, high priest, let us therefore, tempted like all, as all points like we are, let us therefore come boldly for that ground, that reason, to the throne of grace. Friends, come boldly. Come boldly. Sue it out, says Joseph, something like this. Sue it out, spurning doubt, the Holy Ghost's thy witness. Friend, what is your case tonight? It's a big one, isn't it? It's not a little one. It's a big one. And as the hymn writer says, with my burden I'll begin. Lord, remove this load of sin, these awful temptations, these inclinations, all this flatness, spiritual flatness, flat as anything, lifelessness. Lord, help me. I'm lifeless. Give me life. Well, let us therefore come boldly. The Lord Jesus, your great high priest, has been tempted. As we read in 5, you know, tears he offered up, learning obedience, the things which he suffered, the days of his flesh. Well, let us therefore come boldly, now exalted as a prince and a saviour. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Look at your life. Look at your pathway. You know, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. You have more value than many sparrows. The hairs of your head are all numbered. That's the God of heaven, who we go before, who sees us. Let us, therefore, come boldly. We've got one who makes intercession, a God full of compassion. Friends, we wouldn't presume, would we? You know, there's such a fine line sometimes between living faith and presumption. It seems to, well, that's what I'm talking to myself now. I don't know whether you have found it like I have, but oh, am I? Is it all presumption? Is it all presumption? No, friend, we're taught humbly to come pleading the name of Jesus. We need him. The secret is, you need him. You need him. Give me Christ, or else I die. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. This ground of holy boldness, I won't keep repeating myself, is concerning the grace, the priesthood of Christ. There's your hope. There's your hope. Let us therefore come boldly. He that said, ask, it shall be given you. We don't believe it, do we, half the time? Ask, it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. These aren't 5-minute wonders. There can be blessings in 5 minutes. I'm not saying that. There have been. But what I mean is, they're not just 5-minute wonders for a while. Knock. What a word, it shall be opened. The gospel opened up. The mercy from heaven opened up. And the door of faith opened. Knock, it shall be opened. And ye shall find. Find rest for your soul. Find a satisfaction. Find a solid ground hope in what Jesus has done. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Friend, we need obtaining mercy to the end of our days, don't we? You take the last few years. You're needing the Lord as much, if, well, more, I'm going to say, than you've ever needed him before. As there's the trials go on, the family concerns, the business, the worries, the and so forth, it goes on and on. We may obtain mercy, eternal mercy, and find grace to help in time of need. Friend, time of need. If you're taught of the Lord, you won't very often get away from a time of need, will you? You might do for a little while and escape with the pleasures of this life, lawful ones, I mean. But I know what it is to get carried away and enjoying business. Enjoying it. And then something goes wrong. Then you have to cry. Go back like a little child for about the umpteenth time. As a worm again. Back to the same old prayers. Lord, help me. Lord, forgive. Lord, undertake. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. All this wonderful boldness. Not presumption. Friend, no assumptions here. No, pleading Jesus' name. Pray that the Lord will open up to you these glorious offices of Christ. Ever remembering he's the Son. He's always has been the eternal Son of God. But open up those offices he bears. And those offices speak of his grace. The grace of God in the God-man, Christ Jesus. And here particularly, his priesthood. We think of his kingship. We think of his prophetic office. He makes the promises to his church. His glorious king is reigning over us. You're not your own. I was reading this morning with Jenny. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. And yet, shame. Almost behave as I am. It's an awful thing. And one that's professed to know him. But you're not your own. My times are in thy hand. Well, this ground of hope, the priesthood is making intercession for us, appearing in heaven. And we think of that lovely hymn. With joy we meditate the grace of our high priest above. His heart is made of tenderness. His bowels melt with love and so forth. Touched with a sympathy within. He knows our feeble frame. He knows what sore temptations mean. For he has felt the same. And so forth. He in the days of feeble flesh brought out his cries and tears. His nature feels afresh what every member bears. Let a humble faith address his mercy and his power. We shall obtain the living grace in the distressing hour. Let us therefore come boldly. What is your case? Pathway. Business. You know, we do have to go to man for help sometimes in technical matters. Technical issues you can't resolve, or something scientific that's beyond you, we have to go and seek for help. But we have to pray sometimes, and amazingly, the Lord answers prayer. And I'll tell you, I say something to anyone, a word of encouragement. Things go wrong when we're not right with God, you know. Even practical things, technical things. There's a neglect. and things go wrong. And I know it. And I know it. But I don't want to keep drifting off here. Boldly, the glorious priest making intercession, appearing for us in heaven, presenting his own righteousness. Come boldly. What is your casting? Peter says it beautifully. Humble yourselves, therefore. Isn't it a lovely word? It's the humbling bit that's difficult. You can't do it yourself, but the Lord will help you to do it, you know. He knows how to do it. It's painful, but he does it in love. He does it in love. Humble yourselves, therefore, under. Now, under, what a wonderful thing. You're under the mighty. You're under it. I know the world is, so they don't realise it. But to feel, it was the Lord. Oh, the Lord was in that. Under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, lift you to a good hope, casting all your care upon him. For he careth for you. And Peter knew well about it, didn't he? He knew all about that. He'd been taught it. Poor dear Peter. But this he writes. You see, even that, his wrong, his cursing, his swearing, even that worked together for good for him, didn't it? And it's done it for the church as well. Because as he wrote his epistle and so forth. You know, and Paul writes, does he not? Be careful for nothing. And, you know, aren't we over careful? Friends, I am. The trouble is we let these burdens get on top of us. But, you know, but in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Don't forget that little thanksgiving. It's a big thanksgiving. It ought to be. With thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Dear friends, why with thanksgiving? There's one thing needful. One thing needful. And be thankful that you have one who you can go to who has fulfilled all things concerning the law of Moses and made it honourable and magnified it for poor sinners, that we might be found in. Now, I don't want to be presumptuous there. Never assume. We need the Lord Jesus. We want his righteousness. Speak, Lord. Pray to him. Pray to him. Come boldly. Lord, hast thou not said? You know, when Jacob was returning, and he would know he was going to meet Esau. And you know, Jacob sent these presents ahead, didn't he, to Esau to appease him. But when the messengers came back, they said, yeah, your brother's coming to meet you as well. And you know, what a wonderful thing that Esau was coming to, but hang on a minute, he's got 400 men with him. What does he want 400 men for? 400 men. And Jacob was greatly afraid. I'm not surprised. Look at the way he behaved, Jacob. And now he's, you know, good news, but now he's got 400 men. What does he want 400 men for? And he was greatly afraid. But you know, I notice, and I think we've all noticed at times, he prayed, O God of my father Abraham, and pleaded that, I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of thy truth, which thou hast shown unto thy servant. Has the Lord shown you mercy and help? You're not worthy of it, but has he done so? You know, you don't realise how favoured we are sometimes. Well, I don't. You know, I'm full of woe, full of awful self, full of my sin. Deliver, I pray, the hand of Esau, my brother, for I fear him, and so forth. And thou saidst, it will surely do thee good, and so forth. But
Thou didst say, return to thy country and to thy kindred. I will deal well with thee. Lot was doing, he was pleading what the Lord had done for him and spoken to him. Never forget him. If you've been taught of the Lord in any measure, bring it in prayer to him in a time of trouble. Remind him. God doesn't need reminding, but dear friends, it glorifies him when you remind him. When you that he sees the travel of his soul then, he sees the fruit. Christ sees the fruit of his labour in redeeming and dying for us. When we plead his word of grace and his word to us, it glorifies him. Jacob needed it, and so will you. Think of Daniel, confessing the sins of the church. You know, and we have sinned in our fathers and so forth. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces as at this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and so forth. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings and princes, and so forth. We have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses, though we rebelled against thee. How true! Daniel pleaded with the Lord. How true. May we do also. And I think of that prayer of Jabez seemed to come to me in the vestry. You know, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast. As the hymn writer says, Joseph Hart or Mr. Gadsby, Joseph Hart, I think, what is it to be blessed indeed but to have our sins forgiven? And it is, isn't it? Blessed with eternal life. And enlarge my coast. Thy hand might be with me. And keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Humble prayers. Humble prayers. Woman of Canaan, filled her mouth with arguments like Job. Surely the dogs see to the crumbs that fall from their master's table, don't they, Lord? The simplicity of the argument. She took the words of Christ and turned them and pleaded. Is the Lord dealing with you? Does he say, do you find his word hard? Plead it out before him. Tell him how you feel. Turn the judgment you fear is coming upon you to a blessing. You haven't got power to do it yourself, but plead it. Remind him of his word. Remind him. And, you know, that cry, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Well, let us therefore come boldly, because of the grace of Christ. I hope you're not bored tonight. I tell you, friends, I often wish I could come with a word for somebody and a direction of providence, or stand here and say, well, the Lord's speaking to someone tonight. I just feel when we come to chapel, we need Jesus. I don't know whether you do or not. We need the Lord Jesus, dear friend. We need a word, but we need Christ. We need his righteousness. We need his love. We need his dying love. We need his grace. We need his precious blood. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, said he was determined to know nothing among them save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why? Because of their disorders. What about the disorders of your heart? The disorders of our life. What about the sins of our heart? Only Christ could put things right in the Corinthian, the church at Corinth. And only the Lord Jesus can put things right for us. But prayer, prayer, come boldly. to the throne of grace. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything, look at Abraham, and complete impossibility, well past age, but God has spoken. He'd given over several times, dear Abraham, but the Lord has spoken. Nothing was too hard for the Lord. With God, nothing, says Gabriel, shall be impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Your own soul's case, your pathway. Do you need something put right in your life, or in business, or in your pathway? Only the Lord can do it, you know. You say, but this is practical. You know, you've got this bit of equipment and whatever it is, and it wasn't suitable or whatever it was. And what do you do? It's a practical matter. Ask for wisdom. Ask for guidance. Lord, show me what to do, where to go, how to turn. What's the best thing for me? Go to the throne of grace. Are there two ways ahead of you? Which way do I go? What is thy will? Ask the Lord. Friend, I know it's easy to say these things. You need an answer. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. Never get beyond it, as I said just now. And find grace to help those difficulties. Grace to help me through to the end of the journey. Grace to die on. When I get older, when you're younger, you've got lots of trials. But when you're younger, naturally, there is a natural strength given. And the Lord helps and gives strength. When you get older, you can't manage things naturally you used to. And then you need the Lord to undertake. Getting old is not an easy thing. You need the Lord to undertake in all things. I don't want to talk naturally here, but it is a fact. God's people know that as they get older. Grace to help in time of need, which will be at all times, dear friends. Well, I'll leave it now. We've won above, touched with the feeling of our infirmities, touched with our sins, suffering for them. Christ made a curse for us, who knew no curse, that he may be made the righteousness of God. Well, dear friends, I leave it with you. Let us therefore, nothing too hard for the Lord. With God, nothing shall be impossible. And we think of the Lord. The Lord will hasten it in his time. And there was that which was spoken of. I can't think of the word I want. There shall be a performance. I can't find it. It's in Luke. There shall be performance. It's the birth of Christ and John the Baptist. Blessed is she that believed. What a wonderful word. Blessed is she that believed. There shall be performance of those things which were told from the Lord. Told from the Lord. That will take you to the throne of grace, to the great high priest. Told from the Lord. There shall be performance of those things that are told from the Lord. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we, reminding God of his promise and his word, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
God willing, Mr. Seymour is expected to preach next Lord's Day. There'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Izzard is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. Let us now close with hymn 737. 737. Gracious Lord, incline thine ear. My requests felt safe to hear. Hear my never-ceasing cry. Give me Christ, or else I die. Hymn 737.
Thank you.
And now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, the sweet communion, unction, comfort of the Holy Ghost, rest and abide upon us each, now, forever. Amen.